WCNO 89.9 FM.
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is, when temptation comes, what should we do? Part 2. Our scripture is Matthew 4, 1 through 11. My text is Matthew 4, 1, which states, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now when the devil tempted Christ the second time, he tempted Christ to undertake without clear justification upon his Father's power and protection. See what a restless, unwearied adversary the devil is. If he fails in one assault, he tries another. There are no extremes more dangerous than those of despair and presumption to dare, especially in the affairs of our souls. How subtle the devil was in the choice of the place for his temptations, intending to solicit Christ to an excessive display of his own power and a vainglorious presumption upon God's providence. He fixes him on a public place in Jerusalem, a popular city, and the joy of the whole earth. In the temple, one of the wonders of the world, continually gazed upon with admiration by someone or another. There he might make himself remarkable and be taken notice of by everybody and prove himself the Son of God. Not as he urged in the former temptation in the hidden wilderness, but before multitudes upon the most prominent stage of action. The holy city is Jerusalem, and the pinnacle of the temple is probably the southeast corner of the temple area, the top of which was some 300 feet above the floor of the Kidron Valley. High places are places of temptation. They are slippery places. Advancement in the world makes a man a fair mark for Satan to shoot his fiery darts at. High places in the church are, in a special manner, dangerous. They who excel in gifts, who are in permanent stations, and have gained great reputation, have need to keep humble, for Satan will be sure to aim at them, to puff them up with pride, that they may fall into the doom of the devil. Those that stand high are concerned to stand fast. For it is written, the devil's quotation of Psalm 91 is a blatant misuse of scripture in an effort to manipulate Jesus. Such a spectacular display as jumping from the great height unharmed would have gained him an enthusiastic following, but it would not have followed the Father's messianic and redemptive plan of suffering and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. how Christ overcame this temptation. He recited and overcame it as he did the former. For with it is written, the devil's abusing of scripture did not prevent Christ from using it. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Lastly, he tempted him on the most horrible idolatry with the offer of the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Observe concerning Satan's temptation. The first, they often come in at the eye, which is blinded to the things it should see and dazzled by the vanities it should be turned from. The first sin began in the eye. Genesis 3:6. We have therefore need to make a covenant with our eyes and to pray that God will turn them away from beholding vanity. Secondly, that temptations commonly take rise from the world and the things of it. The first of the flesh and of the eye, with the pride of life, are the topics from which the devil fetches most of his arguments. Fall down and worship me. The devil offers a shortcut to Jesus' future reign in God's kingdom. A shortcut that sidesteps Jesus' redemptive work on the cross and comes at the cost of exchanging the love of the Father for the worship of Satan. All these I will give you was a lie. See how Christ warded off this temptation and came off a conqueror. Jesus resisted the devil by standing firm on God's word, setting an example for his followers. He rejected the proposal with extreme dislike and hatred. Get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. We have here the end and issue of this combat. Then the devil left him. Angels came and were ministering to him. Their ministering probably included much needed physical sustenance. All of heaven knew the significance of Jesus' initial victory in this cosmic battle. Though the children of God may be exercised with many and great temptations, yet 1 Corinthians 10:13 state, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins. While on the cross, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But after 3 days, he arose from the dead with all powers in his hands. Because he loves us so much, let us be obedient to his word. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is Today Matters. In the book Today Matters by John Maxwell, the author talks about 12 daily commitments that can help us live a better life. Maxwell says that everyone has the power to impact the outcome of their life by focusing on today. Today is the only time you have. It's too late for yesterday, and you can't depend on tomorrow. My hope is that this daily commitment list will be helpful to our radio listeners. First, just for today, I will choose and display the right attitudes. Second, just for today, I will determine and act on important priorities. Third, just for today, I will know and follow healthy guidelines. Fourth, just for today, I will communicate with and care for my family. Fifth, just for today, I will practice and develop good thinking. Sixth, just for today, I will make and keep proper commitments. Seventh, just for today, I will earn and properly manage my finances. Eighth, just for today, I will deepen and live out my faith. Ninth, just for today, I will initiate and invest in solid relationships. 10th, just for today, I will plan for and model generosity. 11th, just for today, I will embrace and practice good values. And last, just for today, I will seek and experience improvements. Today mattered to David in Psalm 118:24, as David sang, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Later he wrote, "Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts." David was aware of the significance of today. He worked to see the value of each day, and he helped others to do the same. Today mattered to Esther in Esther 4:13, as Esther longed to sit still and do nothing, but Mordecai wouldn't let her. The fate of God's people hung in the balance. Mordecai shocked her when he said, "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" He pushed Esther to seize the day, and she did. Today mattered to Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 and Philippians 3, where Paul compared life to a race. He threw off any weight that would entangle him or slow him down. He made the most of his pursuit of the prize. We all know that runners don't wander, but head straight for the finish line. And finally, today mattered to Jesus in Matthew 6:34. In the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us to seek first his kingdom, and all the other needs we have will be added to us. Following that challenge, he reminds us not to worry about tomorrow, for each day has enough trouble of its own. Just focus on today and remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news. Repent and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to continue to pray. Trust and obey his word and take purposeful action for his glory. Stay encouraged, my friends, and keep looking up, realizing that today matters. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Faith be today, what it will be tomorrow.
when I've seen.